Listen and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that contaminates a person in God's sight. It's what comes out of the mouth that contaminates the person. It's almost scary that this passage would come up in the lectionary sequence in this time and place, isn't it? We are in a time when what is coming out of the mouths of many displays messages that are the exact opposite of what Christ shared were important in God's sight. In the time of today's message, leaders were speaking out strongly. The Pharisees of the time were quite clear in their message. They are acknowledged as a group which sought to interpret God's law and to teach others what that law represented. They put great value on the validation of themselves by others and focused on the most minute details of the law as they saw it. Jesus, though, was countering their message. The Pharisees were very vocal about the role of washing. They saw the washing of hands, cups, pitchers, and more as critical, not because there were some early form of the Board of Health, but because there was a tradition where washing meant someone was purified in the sight of God. They saw those that would eat without washing as unclean in the sight of God, and therefore not worthy of God's love and support. Christ saw an absurdity in this. He called the Pharisees out on the fact they were intensely focused on something as earthly as washing, while they ignored God's requirement of all to show love, to uphold justice, and to demonstrate their faith. So while the disciples asked Jesus if he knows that his statements were offending the Pharisees, Jesus was focused on the fact that an angered Pharisee didn't matter if what was being said and done was aligned with God. As Christians, we want the message to end there, to be neat and tidy, with Jesus, our hero, saying just the right thing and doing just the right thing. But the reaction Christ has to the Canaanite woman breaks away from that view. She appeals to Jesus that her daughter is being afflicted by a demon. Was Jesus' reaction one of love and support? No. He actually turns her away. He shows a prejudice we wouldn't expect in saying, "I've been sent only to the lost sheep, the people of Israel." In our looking at this message today, our vision is tainted by the fact that we already know how the story unfolds. We've jumped ahead to the last chapter of the book and know how it all turns out. But think about how things unfolded here as they happened. Someone considered unclean by society approached Jesus for help. Jesus shunned her based solely on who she was, not what she did. She did not back down and continued her appeal. Jesus ultimately determines that her faith is as strong as any of the people of Israel and responded to her request. In nearly all cases, Jesus is revealed to us as Rabbi, our teacher. But here, Jesus actually seems to be learning something himself. He has a perspective, is shown some new information, and gains a new understanding. As a result, he's a changed person. His actions change, and he is forced to admit his first response was not the one God would expect. We're used to the gospel being filled with stories of faith being shown and demonstrated in unexpected places. What we aren't used to is a situation where Jesus himself is caught off guard as opposed to being the one to demonstrate to others how their view is off course. So Jesus held certain prejudicial views, saw a situation unfold, and was able to change perspective, to recalibrate with God's expectations. He caught himself starting to act like the ones he was most critical of, checked himself, and changed his response. He changed from the contaminating words he first used, hurtful words directed at someone from a different land, to the cleansing words of blessing and compassion. What triggered all of this? He paused to listen. He turned off the immediate response of dismissing someone simply based on their ethnic background and listened to what she was saying. He allowed himself to hear, to understand, and to change response based on what he learned. This lesson could not be any more critical right here and right now. None of us want to admit it. But we all carry our own prejudices, myself included. We all judge others based on where they came from or how their view compares to ours, rather than listen to what their experiences are, how they shape them as people, and most importantly, what they need most to heal. The tensions of our world today are anchored in a view that for things to work out, it's either us or them. We start to bucket people into categories and determine whether we think they are lost sheep worthy of being shown love and support. And we form our own reality to match that view, dismissing any statements made to the contrary as fake news. Even worse, we use that position of what is real versus fake news to distract from what is contaminating our world so that we don't have to face it head on. Let's be clear on this. The actions of human beings on other human beings in Charlottesville, North Virginia, was and continues to be horrific. But then to use words to allow tolerance for white supremacy, for neo-Nazis, for the Ku Klux Klan, because others behave badly, makes us complicit in their acts of racism and hate. Jesus was able to see through the words of the Canaanite woman that his words were justifying discrimination and oppression, things he knew were not acceptable to God. We need to see through the words of those of different color, nationality, gender identity, and more that all are worthy of God's love and care delivered through us as Christians. Who did Jesus stand with and for while among us here on earth? He stood with the oppressed, the marginalized, and the outcast. He did this not just by nature, but by what he learned himself. He himself at first oppressed the Canaanite woman, only to realize he needed to change to come to her defense by listening. We as Christians are called to do the same. We must listen openly and intently. We need to understand that because of our human condition, it will be hard. But we must do it all the same. In the peace within these walls and the comfort of like-minded people, it will be easy for us to say, of course we need to look out for our fellow people. Once we leave, it's not so easy. We will allow our prejudices to take hold. We will look down at the drug addict and proclaim they will never overcome their addiction and become worthy of love and support. We will look at the person struggling on state aid and choose to fight against the programs that support them because they should just get a job. We will continue to ignore family members who did something harmful to us years ago and avoid the consequences of hate with the justification that they did it too. So many today are asking, when will all this end? So many are feeling powerless against the tide of hate anger and escalation that seem predestined to send us into a figurative and maybe literal death spiral. Both of these perspectives are dangerous because they take time and energy. We need to be investing in listening and acting the way the gospel calls us to. We need to listen. Really actively listen. Why does the person that knows their actions are destructive to themselves or others around them continue to do what they're doing? What prevents someone from moving from dependence on others to become self-sufficient? Who is under pressure to be silenced through threats of all kinds? And then we need to respond in action. It's not enough to talk about it once a week here. It's not enough to post something to social media each day in a rant. We need to act. We live in a society where people make bold and inflammatory statements behind the safety of their keyboards each day, but won't invest 50% of the time spent trolling social media to attend public meetings, talk with government leaders, reach out to local support groups to turn their faith into action. We need to change that. We need to attend vigils and rallies and other public events in support of the marginalized. We need to write to our governing leaders to tell them how we expect them to act. We need to support nonprofits in the community that collectively do the work that we as individuals can't do on our own. And we need to check ourselves periodically to make sure that we are listening and responding based on what we hear and learn. Jesus did. There's no reason that we shouldn't. Amen.